Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus.
Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, this wouldn't be possible without you. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy towards us and your goodness towards us. And thank you for bringing us through all the trials, all the testings, with blessings. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. I have a very interesting revelation to share with you today. I'm going to talk to you about the darkness being destroyed as the glory comes. And for us here locally, it's been an awesome week and a half, I would say. Through words and dreams, Father certainly confirmed that he was happy with our sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Blessings came from God in all forms and all kinds, in deliverances and provisions and healings and confirmations, etc. We were also given intricate knowledge of the enemy's future attempt to join with the beast to plunder us, and their failure, of course. In the time of Jesus' crucifixion by the factious, the Judas turned him over to the harlot who joined with the beast to crucify him. And this is the pattern, as history repeats, too. It is happening in the government realm against President Trump. And in parallel, it will soon come to pass for us. However, the outcome for us is quite different than it was for Jesus, because Jesus was physically crucified, and we are only spiritually crucified by the same people. They're just doing what their fathers have done. And that's all because Jesus bore the sin and the curse for us. So we don't have to have the curse upon us. He delivered us from the curse of sin and of death. Praise be to God. The Lord has assigned warrior angels to each of us, as I have shared with you, and also to you that are righteous. And this is in order to conquer the enemies of faction, witchcraft, seduction, slander, perversion, hatred, criticism, and whatever you're dealing with, you know. So please exercise your authority and send forth the warring angels to defend you and us and thwart the faction's demons, plots, which have been revealed to us, but which we're not going to speak of here. Anyway, the Lord has given us specifics of the plan that just repeats history. And it's to gather the factions and join with the leftists to steal the bride's reward. Now Q, as some of you know, has said, "We have it all," meaning all of the evidence of the enemy's plans and their evil. If you remember, Admiral Mike Rogers pointed out to President Trump that the NSA had all the knowledge of the deep state workings, and the president has full access to that information, you know. And, of course, he's used it very well. And we ain't seen nothing yet. But in parallel, our spiritual NSA is even greater. Through dreams, visions, and words from the Lord, many of which I will tell you, you don't ever hear about. But many of them you will hear about. This is an awesome story. And it's a story that's going to be repeated on a larger scale for the church. So people are going to have to know what they can do, what they can't do, what they have authority to do, so on and so forth. It's a training grounds for us so that we can train the church in the tribulation, right? We've known in advance, listen to me, I'm telling you the truth. We've known in advance of every person that was going to fall and fail the love test, hide in their sins, be rejected by God as leaven, and turned over to the faction demons of slander and unforgiveness. We've known in advance who they were. And we even warned them and told them. Didn't make any difference. The factious leader right now, I told him many times, you're going to fall into facts. No, 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 not going to happen to me. Yep. Happened 4 times. We've known who was going to fall anywhere from months to years before they fell. That's our NSA at work, right? We have known every Judas from months to years before they fell. We've known who they were, even while they thought they were hiding. We have warned them, prayed for them, or sometimes just prayed for them, however the Lord led, you know. It's important that we follow the Lord in everything because, well, we just have to do it. He's the Lord. He's the leader, right? Well, like with the House trying to impeach Trump, it will be a monumental failure. At their Red Sea, with Pharaoh and his army going down and Moses and his coming up on the other side. They think they and their father are stronger than God, who has spoken their end. Judas, who betrays innocent blood, is going to go down big time by his own hand. The factious leader of the particular time has bragged of their spies, but we've known them all from the beginning, just as Jesus, our man-child, did. Jesus knew. History is repeating. It just repeats on a larger scale, but it just keeps repeating. And Jesus said, "Didn't I choose you 12? And one of you is a devil." He knew who he was, and he chose him to be among them. Here's a revelation for you. Trump purposely chose some traitors for offices so they could find out all their contacts and their plans. They watched them carefully. And, of course, they know what they said, and they used them for disinformation to go into the camp of the enemy so that they made bad decisions. Well, in parallel, we have been led by God to do the same thing. But they don't know what disinformation is, and they end up acting upon it. History always repeats. They don't know what is waiting for them, and I won't tell them here, okay? You will find out one day, but I will not tell them here. Anyway, when their leader tries to deceive us that they have repented but never confesses sin, we know it's a lie. It's obvious. It's not obvious to them that they're obvious liars, but it's obvious to us. We received a text 3 times during one of these attempted smooth-talking deceivers' attempts to come back into our assembly to do damage. Here's that text. Proverbs 26, 23 through 28, in particular, verse 25 and 26. But I'll read the whole context here. Fervent lips and a wicked heart are like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth, that's faction, with his lips, but he layeth up deceit within him. And when he speaketh fair, believe him not. We got this while he was trying to deceive us. For there are seven abominations in his heart. See, God speaks to his own. He protects his own. He don't ever leave his own in confusion about what the enemy's doing. If you're walking with the Lord, he's going to talk to you. He'll show you one way or the other who the enemy is and what they're planning to do. In verse 26, though his hatred cover itself with guile, his wickedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. Whoso diggeth the pit shall fall therein. Hear that now. When they lay a trap, and they are working on it feverishly. It says, he that rolleth a stone, and it will return upon him. It will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those whom it hath wounded. Isn't it something? They slander you and they hate you for it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Psalm 149 through 11 says, as for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, whence they shall not arise. An evil speaker shall not be established in the earth. Shall not. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Just believe God, folks. That's the most important thing. Just believe what he says, you know. Well, as we see here, all traps laid by the enemy ends up trapping them. And God says so. I don't know how many times in the scriptures, over and over, but they don't believe scripture or fear God. Psalm 141, 9 and 10 says, keep me from the snare which they have laid for me, and from the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I with all escape. And that is what is going to happen. Now, we always pray for the elect among them to awaken out of their demonic stupor and know what's happening and repent. We want them to be saved. We want all of them to be saved. And we work hard at it regularly. And this is the condemnation, is that they pay absolutely no attention. But we are guiltless. And it has happened, and it will happen, that they will fall into their own trap, and that some will come out of their stupor. And some are just deceived, and it's in order to humble them and actually do a good work on them. While others, especially leaders and Judas, are devils, as Jesus said. So send out your warrior angels to confound the enemy until their final attack and undoing, like in the Sennacherib scenario and the Joel 2 Northern Army scenario and the Jehoshaphat scenario with the three armies that came against him and Pharaoh and the army and his army scenario at the Red Sea and on and on. In all of these scenarios that the Lord has given us over and over, they thought to plunder the bride, but they were the ones that was plundered and destroyed. History always repeats, but we don't have to worry about them believing that. So what they think are victories when they have taken someone out, deceived them through slander, are actually victories of the Lord to remove leaven from the bride so that she becomes more and more white. This is God's plan. He has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. They all obey him. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And meanwhile, they, of course, become more and more foolish and corrupt as they add more and more leaven to their groups, you know. Well, this way God separates the tares from among the wheat and bundles them together for burning, exactly as he promised to do at this end time in history, right? So, I'm going to share this revelation with you. The brightness of his glory. And this was given to Vanessa Weeks, January the 2nd, this 2020. I had these three short dreams, which I think go together. Yes, they indeed do. And I received them all within a few days of each other towards the end of December 2019. On December the 23rd, 2019, I had a dream that I was listening to a UBM broadcast. And David was saying that we of local UBM had sang a hymn called The Brightness of His Glory. He said we were passing printed copies of it around. Yes, well, we're able to pass around the brightness of His glory. It is so true. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, but at the same time, a person who exudes the glory of God can give to others that glory. You know, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. That mirror, of course, is the Word of God. If you ignore the Word of God, you cannot have any glory. Okay. So it's safe. The glory will be given to the righteous, right? And by the way, this was local UBM, which is a microcosm and a type of larger UBM. So we're not just passing this glory on to the locals here. You know, we're passing it on to you. And Vanessa said, this made me think of these verses, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. And this is from the NASB. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifest that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. God's word is written on the heart of the righteous. They are coming into the image of that word and into the image of Jesus Christ, who is the word. Those who disobey that can never come into the glory. There's judgment awaiting them in every case, as the Bible's very clear. And Hebrews 1 and 3, she put here in the New King James Version, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Well, there's the name, brightness of his glory. Just as Jesus was the brightness of glory, he in us is the brightness of glory, right? And we behold his glory in a mirror, and we are transformed into that same image. And 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8, the New King James Version. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Look, notice the brightness of his glory. Now the lawless one, that's the son of perdition, will be revealed, whom the Lord, they'll be revealed. They won't be hidden, not to God's people, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The Lord is coming in his man-child ministry to do war against the Edomites. The leadership has always known. It's not necessarily that they got it, all on their own obviously. There are prophets and prophetesses and revelations and dreams and visions and things like that that have caused us to know what Jesus knew. Didn't I choose you 12 and one of you is a devil? He knew it. He knew it ahead of time. He also knew that he couldn't do anything that was outside of the will of God. And he was going to be glorified through the work of this man. Praise God. Once you realize that, you don't have to worry, do you? 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an unveiled face. Their faces are veiled, the Bible says, you know. With an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen. Well, you can't deny the Word of God and expect to be looking in the mirror, can you? No. And you can't come into His glory. You can't bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, etc. So, Vanessa said, a couple of days later, I dreamed that David was telling Shay he was being caught up to the throne and almost made it. Not quite time yet, but almost made it. It was that David went most of the way there and then came back. And David was excited as he told Shay this. And I had a sense that he was then going to go farther. Yeah. Well, caught up to the throne is what? Caught up to the authority of God, the throne of God. Remember, I had visions of going to the throne of God and people trying to come up some other way and couldn't do it. Right? And she said, I believe this is saying the Davids, that's the David Manchilds, are closer to being caught up and that the time is near. I do believe that. Yeah. And she said, when I woke up, it reminded me of what happened to David on 4/14/2009. He tells on the site under The Lone Ranger Rides Again how he had a vision. And this is part of it. He said, I saw in the midst of a black and cloudy sky, a clear window into a blue sky heaven. And in the midst of this was a castle fit for a king. There's the throne of God, right? It was similar to what I have seen twice before, but with a clarity and a clearness that I have never seen in a vision before. And before I could think, I was being snatched up toward it so fast it took my breath away. I actually felt the G-force of the situation. It was all so real. And somewhere in mid-flight, before I reached that city, I found myself back in my bed. Oh, shucks. Well, when the time is right, it's going to be all the way, going to be all the way through, isn't it? Praise be to God for the Davids. And she said about 12/26/19, I dreamed that Leon was sitting and teaching us, and it was so different. He started talking like he always does, but suddenly he was teaching in a very profound way. It was sudden and true, and I heard the voice of my shepherd in him. Christ was being manifested through him. Amen. That's going to happen to many people around the world, an anointing to come upon there where you will hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. So I received by faith at random for these, Exodus 40:7, in context 6-8. You shall set the altar of burnt offering in front of the doorway of the tabernacle. In other words, you have to go through the crucified life, right? Of the tent of the meeting. You shall set the laver between the tent of the meeting and the altar and put water in it. And you shall set up the court all around and hang up the veil for the gateway of the court. Well, we know the tabernacle is that wilderness temple, and the washing of the water with the word for purification is indicated here for the priests in order to enter the Holy of Holies. Sandy had a dream of us washing our feet in pure water just this past week. And of course your feet are your walk, right? We're getting ready to enter into the presence of God, which Jesus made possible. And then by faith at random, look at the connection between these. How interesting and how anointed this connection is. Also by faith at random, Luke 23 and 48, in context 45 through 48, the veil of the temple was torn in two. So Jesus opened the way into the most holy place through the washing of the word. And anyone else who attempts to go in there, of course, dies, right? You don't get washed by the word, you don't get into the presence of God. It's just that simple. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." He got a revelation there, didn't he? And all the crowd who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. They knew that these rotten Pharisees, this factious bunch of jealous leaders who tried to and did separate Jesus from the crowds because of their jealousy and their ambition, their selfish ambition, they knew they were wrong, didn't they? And Psalm 94:21 says, "They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood." That's right. They will condemn. Look, everything the wicked left has accused Trump of, they were guilty of. It's the same here, folks. The same here. There's a parallel going on. The parable is beautiful. And it is so true. So she said, "I asked the Father for a word about the first dream and received by faith at random." 1 Chronicles 22:3. In context 1-3. "Then David said, 'This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering.'" There it is again. There's the sequence, right? For Israel. "And David commanded to gather together the sojourners that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of gates and for the couplings, and the brass in abundance without weight." Hallelujah. Interesting. There it is again. The crucified life to enter into the presence of the Lord. And of course, we are gathering materials and have been to rebuild the house of God, which is what it always has to do with the word of God, right? Teaching the word of God, getting the word of God in people's hearts. There's so much apostasy out there. How can they come into the image of God whom they cannot see in the mirror? Okay, so we gather the materials. And Satan, of course, has worked hard to destroy these materials, but he has failed. And his little helpers down here, the factious, they've done their best to destroy our materials. Oh, they deny that they did it, but we have absolute proof that they did. And now, of course, the fruit and the son of David, the Prince of Peace, will build. Praise the Lord. And as I look at these three scriptures, she says, I see the two Old Testament scriptures mention the altar, and Jesus was offered on the altar spiritually in Luke 23. Also, Moses set up the veil in the tabernacle, and the veil of the temple was torn in two when Jesus died. Yes. Mm-hmm. To make it possible for us to enter into the presence of God. Just as the high priest had to be holy and washed and to enter in and have clean garments to enter into the presence of God, so do we. Thank you, Father, that the veil was torn by your Son so that we can come in to the most holy place. Thank you also that the time for your sons to be caught up to your throne is soon. Help us all by your grace to offer our flesh on your altar so you can come in the brightness of your glory in our mortal flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I'll share this a little bit later, but Eve Brast on December 25th had a dream of the man-child being birthed and the bride receiving her reward. I'm just going to mention that because we have a sequence of events here that this is important to. So I'm going to jump over that, but we'll come back to it on a larger scale in just a little bit here. So this revelation we call a time of refreshing. Actually, Sandy Shaw called it a time of refreshing on December the 30th, 2019. And she said, in this dream, I was walking in the city. And I heard fire trucks, ambulances, and police just going everywhere. Now, that lets you know that it's in the midst of a lot of trouble, a lot of destruction, a lot of hurt, and on and on. There is a lot of traffic and people on foot going every which way. There was confusion, right? Evidently, there was possibly an attack by the deep state, which we have been told by the Lord was coming. I kept walking down the sidewalk, and this sidewalk ended, and I was in a wooded area, a wilderness, and there were a lot of tall trees, and I was walking through them. Well, that's interesting, because Sandy only has one foot, but here she was walking. That kind of lets you know the season of miracles has come, you know? And we know, I was talking about this the other day. We know that when Jesus came, there were a lot of people waiting for healings of different kinds and deliverances of different kinds. And God was storing this up to give confirmation of who Jesus the man child was. Now we know history is about to repeat again, right? The ground had felt very soft and cushioned with the many loaves, as if no one had ever walked there. Now there was a creek in front of me, and it had clear water. There's that clear water running through it, a little more than ankle high. And all of a sudden, my shoes were off. Shoes, plural, were off. And I put my feet in the water and could feel the smooth rocks under my feet. It was soothing and felt great. Yeah. It must have been noontime, the way the sun came beaming down. You could feel the warmth of the sun. It was so relaxing that I sat down on the edge, keeping my feet in the water, and went to sleep while hearing the sounds of the water and other sounds of nature. Sounds like spring, doesn't it? Yeah. And when I woke up, I was happy and pleasantly surprised to see my UBM family all in one accord, all having their feet in the water also, letting the stream of clear, pure water wash the feet or the walk, right? And by faith at random, Matthew 5 and 23 says, if thou therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And of course, you know, when anybody factions out and they get angry and critical, it usually is the goofiest reason. You just would not believe it, except you're probably watching it every once in a while on TV or on, well, no, you ain't going to be seeing it on TV, but on the internet, this crazy bunch getting offended about everything in the world. You know, this is them. And you can try to appease them, but you're wasting your breath. But the Lord said, try anyway, didn't he? Right here, you see. And it's always been a waste of breath because they've been delivered over to demon forces. All right. So then we got Sandy's dream that she called Fresh Anointing. And that was on January the 1st, 2020. In this dream, most of us from UVM were waiting for the arrival of a new book that David wrote. We were all excited and waiting in anticipation, for we had already been taught from the book. Yeah, well, that usually happens here. Before we make a book out of it, we have been teaching from it. And so a lot of our teachings were taken from the site and put into books and so on. We knew about the special anointing on the book, for it had come upon us. All right. So this is for sharing and teaching other people, right? Probably, mostly. Even though when you remind yourself of these things, I want to say to you that some people have gotten away from teachings, and they've discovered when they go back to them and start reading them, they get a refresher course and they get an anointing. They get full of faith. And some of you may have started out really great, you know, in your walk when you got revelations that were coming straight out of the Word, and you got cold after a while. Well, let me say, go back. Pick up those teachings, get back into them. I'm telling you, you'll get a revival. Amen. And the Lord had already given me my new leg. Well, yes, in the last revelation, she had her new leg, and through the washing of the water and that anointing there. And I saw that in the dream, I knew that we had all been made whole. Well, we've got lots of revelations like this, lots of them, of the man-child coming. And they were, and of course, I was being used as the David man-child and praying for people and them getting healed, and them turning and praying for people and them getting healed, and on, you know. Yes, that's the way it's going to happen. It happened that way with Jesus. It's going to happen. And she said that we had all been made whole. Many people are waiting, just like they were waiting for the time of Jesus, when God was going to confirm Jesus to be who he was by his works that were given from God. Now we're going to find out if the faction has any of this anointing. They don't. They don't heal the sick. They don't cast out devils. They don't. You could write books about what they don't do. They don't preach the gospel. They sit around and chew on the righteous. And one of them told me, we don't read the Bible anymore. We just play music. Yeah, I said, yeah, I know that. Yeah. When the books came, we each grabbed a stack along with Sovereign God. And when I held the new book in my hand, I kept trying to focus on the name. I could only see the prettiest blue cover that seems to be moving and alive. You could feel the anointing and the electricity. It was a fresh anointing all over again. You know what, folks? The unleavened bread is coming. Now, I know we put that name on our ministry, and we do our best to stick to nothing but the Word, you know, and the revelations that come from the Word and the different forms that the Word tells us to receive them. But I'm telling you, it's going to be like we just read about Leon, you know. Jesus is going to be speaking. Jesus is going to be speaking. And that anointing is going to do healings like we've not seen. Because it's the coming of the latter rain anointing, which comes on the morning of the third day where we are now. People said that when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the beginning of the 1900s, that was latter rain. No, it was not. It was the former rain. The latter rain only happens on the morning of the third day, as Hosea 6, 1, 2, and 3 says. Okay. The Lord had given us each designated areas in which to give out the books, and these were only to be given to believers. Notice that. Who did Jesus send out the disciples to? Only the Israelites, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's how it started. It didn't stay there, but that's where it started. As they began to blaspheme, he turned to the Gentiles, right? And then I woke up and I received by faith at random, John 8 and 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. And he was talking to those who thought they were God's people. Oh no, does that happen? Yes. And he told them they were from beneath. You must be born from above. The word, the bread that came down out of heaven must go into you and recreate Christ in you 30, 60, and 100 fold. It has to happen. You must be born again. How come the teachers of Israel didn't understand that? But they didn't. And they don't understand it today either. For except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now there's going to be plenty enough signs and wonders and proofs to prove who Jesus is in the man child. There's going to be plenty of that. And you know what? They're going to be just as deceived as they were in Jesus' day. Because the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun, right? Okay. Now we're going to go to Eve Brass Revelation on December the 30th. And it's all about man-child births, rewards to the bride, and the cutting off of affection. And here's dream number one. On December the 23rd, 2019, I dreamed that I was in the left side mobile home. Some of y'all heard this before, but we already know what the parable's about. The left side, of course, is the leftists, the faction on the land my father had given me. And of course, that was her natural father, the parable, but it's her spiritual father as an inheritance in real life. This represents our promised land that our Heavenly Father gave to us through His Son. In real life, there are two mobile homes, one on the right side and one on the left. Yes, the one on the right, God has used in dreams to represent the saints, and the one on the left, He has used to represent the faction. They are connected, she said, in between by a large cement slab porch with 12 large wooden posts cemented into the foundation. foundation of Christ, right? Six posts on the left and six on the right. These were intended by the builders to support a covering over the porch and the mobile homes. Below is a picture. I was seven, and my dad and I had just finished building a snowman when he took this picture in 1977. And you can see most of the posts in the photo. Yes, it's there, the two mobile homes in the photo. You've heard so much about this, you might want to look at this. And then she says, the number 12 has significant meaning in the Bible. The meaning of 12, which is considered a perfect number, is that it symbolizes God's power and authority, as well as serving as a perfect governmental foundation. It can also symbolize completeness or the nation of Israel as a whole. So anyway, a note, both the 10 tribes of Israel that factioned away and Judah and Benjamin who kept Jerusalem representing the bride with the temple of God within, right? Okay, so we remember there was a faction in Israel and that there were righteous who stood by the temple. And then she said, for example, Jacob or Israel representing the church had 12 sons, each of which represented a tribe begun by a prince for 12 patriarchs total. And my thought is that of these 12 patriarchs and tribes, one was a Judas and fell away and is not listed among the tribes in Revelation 7. Yes. And that's Genesis 49:16 through 17 says, Dan shall judge his people. And Judas is doing it today, folks. The apostates on the left are doing it today. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels so that his rider falleth backwards. Kind of like a chihuahua nipping at your heels, right? These are types of our 12 patriarchs, the apostles of Jesus. Judas was a traitor with those who follow in his steps unto this day. He joined the faction, killing himself, and was replaced. And in like manner, Absalom, the son of David, who factioned against him, will also kill himself. These are all types of what's going to happen in the end times. And then Eve says, Ishmael, who was born to Abraham through Hagar, also had 12 princes. Yep, and of course, these factioned away from the chosen 12 and represent the faction who is against the chosen people today. Yes. And then she said, Christ called and chose 12 men to bear witness to what he did and to spread the good news of the gospel to the entire world. And after he was raised from the dead, Jesus told the 11 disciples, Jesus had killed himself, that God had given him all power and authority in both earth and heaven and delegated it to them, by the way. God's divine authority, Matthew 28 and 18. And later, of course, Judas was replaced by Matthias in Acts 1:26. Now, my thought is that of the two trailer houses, the one on the left was the smaller house and represents the faction against the David and the bride, and trying to impeach David and to destroy UBM. This left house in the church is running parallel to the left house of the representatives who are trying to impeach President Trump and destroy the country through lawlessness. Why they let them go against the Constitution constantly, go against the law of the land constantly, I don't know. But just to show everybody who they are, I'm sure God is doing that. And according to the dreams that some we're going to share with you, and some from the past, the church faction is joining with the government faction to do their dirty work, but they will fail. Remember, in Jesus' day, that's what happened, right? So this is history repeated. When they go out to the pagans, like they were commanded not to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 by Paul, when they go out to the pagans and join with the pagans against God's children, God's man-childs, etc., they are proving who they are. The harlot always joins the beast to crucify Jesus and his people. Q said they have it all because President Trump was given the NSA with all information on the criminals. And we also have our own NSA information on the criminals. We've been given it all. We have it all, but they don't know it. And they don't know what's going to happen. They're malinformed by their own demons. The New Jerusalem bride, she said, which is made in heaven and brought to the earth by God himself, contains 12 gates made of pearl, which are each manned by an angel. And over each gate will be one of the names of Israel's 12 tribes. The walls are 144 cubits high, 12 multiplied by itself, Revelation 21, 16 through 17, with the city itself being 12,000 furlongs square. So, I thought of Revelation 22, 15. Without are the dogs and the sorcerers, which is the same word for witchcraft, pharmakia, right? Witchcraft. And the fornicators and the murderers. Ah, man, this is really pegging the faction. And the idolaters, really getting them. Everyone that loveth and maketh a lie, got them again. And for this reason, faction must be surgically removed, as the dreams that we're going to share with you show. And from the factious people before judgment comes, this faction must be removed before faction comes, or they will take part in it. And they will be surgically removed from the body. In other words, if faction isn't surgically removed from them, they will be surgically removed from the body. It's very simple. In the dream, Eve said there was surgery, a surgery center set up in the left mobile home. Well, you know what needs to be cut out in the left mobile home. Yes, and my thought was Father is using the sword of truth in the hands of the righteous to surgically remove faction from the factious. This has happened a few times. In many cases, it hasn't happened because God's got a time for all of this, right? But as past dreams have shown, some of them die in the operating, on the operating table and are removed from the body because they're still in their sins when they die. That's a sad thing, but it happens. Jesus and the scriptures say that those who do not forgive and love their brothers are not forgiven. And if they die in that state, they are removed from among the true tribes of God. Because you cannot be saved if you're not forgiven. And if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. Jesus said it, and it is true. They can't imagine that to be true, but he said it. Okay. She went on to say the factious individuals who continually fail the love test are removed from the bride and also his larger body. They are located in this left side mobile home, representing those who are rebellious goats on the left. And she tells the story about that, which is Matthew 25, 32 through 46. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So that's why it's the left mobile home. The king shall say unto them on his right, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. Look, you know what? The righteous are givers, Defectious are takers. They're thieves. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. They're not interested in none of that. They only got one ministry. That's kill David and you be him. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee and athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it unto one of these least brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. Well, there are some people very grossly mistreating Jesus, and the Father is mad. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Actually, they steal the food out of the mouth of God's children. Yes. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto one of these least, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. And he went on to say there were two surgical suites, one in the living room and one in the second bedroom. This left mobile home was a two-bedroom. It had a master bedroom and a small second bedroom. The surgical suites being in the living room and the small second bedroom represents Father's removing from his body those who are spiritually small and stunted. We have dreams and revelations about the factious being stunted, small, short people, viciously trying to get at the tall, glorious people. Yes, yes. And living their lives in rebellion to the word of God, which makes them strangers to Jesus. Yes, repent, factious, repent quickly. Save yourself a lot of blood, damnation, and judgment. We had just finished up the second to last scheduled surgeries. Hey, that's getting towards the end, isn't it? And we're cleaning up the surgical suites in the living room and the second bedroom to get ready to perform the last surgeries of the day. Perhaps these are last chances for some factious to repent before judgment of the Edomites comes in Ezekiel 25 and Obadiah. Yeah. I was so glad, she said, that we were almost done. It had been a long, exhausting day. Almost done. Almost done, saints. Wow. You know, if you've been going through this heavy since 2011, you'd be glad if it was almost done too, wouldn't you? Yeah. My thought was years. Why is she exhausted in this day? Oh, years of trying to cut the disease out of the factious has been tiring. These have been delivered to the tormentors by Father, according to Jesus in Matthew 18:34-35. And of the two surgeries that were left, Eve said, I was assigned to the larger, more complicated surgery that would take 4 hours because I had more experience. It was to take place in the living room. And she has in parenthesis, the bride, which includes the man-child body, will have the most experience in sanctification and will bear the most fruit of Jesus Christ. He will use these vessels to do the surgery as he has been doing up to this point. This process has taken longer than it will take once the judgments of the tribulation start. Yeah. The She went on to say, the fourth of the Ten Commandments is to remember and keep God's holy Sabbath. We're on the fourth here, number four here. Exodus 20:9-11. We are commanded to keep a continual Sabbath rest in our new covenant in Hebrews chapter 4. Well, the penalty for breaking the Sabbath by continuing in man's works is death. These works must be cut out before judgment comes. That seems fairly obvious. The other scrub tech was assigned to do the shorter surgery that would take less than an hour because she was younger and less experienced. It was to take place in the second smaller bedroom to surgically remove the rest of the rebellion and apostasy from the house. Amen. I was praying to the Lord to help me get through it because I was tired and needed strength to do a good job for the surgeon. The surgeon is the Lord, and we desire to be vessels of honor, fit for his use. And of course, that's to try and to save some from sin and death, right? Amen. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves, if peradventure God may give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, I gave really good advice to the factious leader that, listen, you must confess your sins. There's no repentance without confession of sins. But I didn't do anything that you're saying. I didn't do anything. Of course, we had dreams where he was saying that. He wouldn't enter into the door, which was Christ, because he said, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. This is, you know, a total lie and denying any guilt. Well, we know that God will not grant repentance to most, especially the leaders and Judas, so we must do what we can for those deceived by them before judgment comes. Psalm 58:3-9 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. They don't want to hear it. Which hearkeneth not to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as water that runneth apace. And when he aimeth his arrows, let them be as though they were cut off. Listen to what God says he's going to do. He's going to cut off their arrows. Let them be as a snail which melteth and passeth away. Like the untimely birth of a woman that hath not seen the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he will take them away with a whirlwind. That was just like all the scenarios that God told us. They were taken away before they could shoot an arrow over the wall. So their plots and schemes will fail. The green and the burning alike. Well, they lust to take down the bride, but it is they that will be taken down by God. This is his promise. Proverbs 12:7. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Isaiah 26:11. The Lord, thy hand is lifted up, yet they see not. But they shall see thy zeal for the people and be put to shame. Yea, fire shall devour thine adversaries. Notice, the house of the righteous shall stand, he said. Right? Isaiah 49:8-23 was a text that Eve got. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I answered thee. And in a day of salvation, have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to raise up the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to them that are bound, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. In other words, delivering the people in bondage, you know, to all this corruption and lies and slander and everything. They shall feed in the ways, and on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger nor thirst. That's these that are commanded to come forth out of them and are delivered, right? Neither shall the heat of the sun smite them, for he hath had mercy upon them, will lead them, even by springs of water will he guide them. Yeah, I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Lo, these shall come from far, and lo, these shall come from the north and from the west, and these shall from the land of Sinim. Yeah, that's a awesome promise to these people who come out from among them. So I say to the factious, love the truth. Get to reading your Bible. Come out from among them. Look at the fruit of the people around you. Look at the curse on the people around you. Wow. Here's one of my thoughts, that the left in the House of Representatives is trying to overthrow President Trump. But the revelation of their crimes is taking them out, just as it will our faction. The parallel remains true, as the faction for years has tried to overthrow the Davids, right? And Debbie received this by faith at random the morning after this dream was given. Ezekiel 34:22-24. Therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he will feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in its season, and there shall be showers of blessing. That was Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 35 is his destruction of the Edomites. This is how he brought it to pass. David came to the throne, then 35, the destruction of the Edomites, who hated their brothers, who were factious against their brothers. Romans 6:16, Eve gives here, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, that's them, or of obedience unto righteousness. And that's us. For the factious leaders have gotten death dreams from God and have warned them, and we've warned them in love, but they are scoffers and they do not believe. That's sad. The devil has trapped them. All right. Romans 6:16, Eve gives, know ye not that to whom, well, I already read that one. Let's see. Psalm 94:2-7. Lift up thyself. Thou judge of the earth, render to the proud their desert. The Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? They prate, they speak arrogantly. All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord. Yes, they decapitate God's people. They dismember God's people. O Lord, and afflict thy heritage. They slay the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless. Yes, they do. And they say, the Lord will not see, neither will the God of Jacob consider. Amen. And then Eve said, I knew I had to get back to work on the last surgery. But she got this text here. Psalm 94:8-23. Consider, ye brutish, among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the nations, shall not he correct? Even he that teacheth man knowledge. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. For judgment shall return unto righteousness, that is, except for the fool. They won't take any correction, the Lord said, right? Judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had soon dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy loving kindness, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of wickedness have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by statute? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord hath been my high tower, and my God the rock of my refuge, and he hath brought up their own iniquity, and will cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God will cut them off. And she said, as I was walking back to the living room, or OR suite, I looked out the window and saw a drunken man sitting on a large wooden crate on the porch. Well, drunk, I would say, on the deceitfulness of sin and the demons, and they're out of touch with reality. They don't see anything correctly. You've seen them. You've seen them in the house when they were, you know, crucifying Trump, right? Good example. And Eve said, this is representing the gallows that Haman had built outside his house for Mordecai. Yeah, the crate that they use to kick out from under him, remember? His head was shaved, and he was dressed like a prisoner. Only his jumpsuit was tan instead of orange. She said, this man represents the corporate body of the leadership of the faction against God's people. Yes, I agree. Haman. They are outside the house and the enemy of the bride and God's people. And I would say his tan jumpsuit probably represents unclean works. So she gave Esther 5:14. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends unto him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high. He made a snare for the man-child, Mordecai, right? And in the morning speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily and with the king into the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he, as of course it pleased him, and he caused the gallows to be made to kill himself on. Esther 6:13, and Haman recounted unto Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. In other words, that he had actually ended up glorifying Mordecai with the king's clothing. Praise God. That was a plan of God to glorify Mordecai, the man child, little man, Mordecai, little man. He's the man child, right? Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, oh, thank you. If Mordecai, before whom thou hast begun to fall, be of the seed of the Jews, and of course he was, Thou shalt not, what's the seed of the Jews, by the way? It's a word, right? Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. I bet he turned around and said, I thought you told me to build a gallows for him. And Esther 7, 5 through 10. Then spake the king Ahasuerus and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that doth presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, an adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. He was all confident before this, all edified by his ego before this, you know. But no, things turned around. That's what they called Purim. It was a Passover, if you will, right? Things turned around at the Passover, didn't they? And they turned around at the Red Sea, didn't they? And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. Oh, my goodness. And he stood and he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Right where the angel tripped him, right? Then said the king, will he even force the queen before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Then said Harbona, one of the chamberlains that were before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who spake good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. And the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai, and then was the king's wrath pacified. Uh-oh, the beginning of the end for the faction, right? Yep. Well, the drunken man, she said, looked like he was miserable and in a lot of torment because he was being made by an invisible force of demons to eat the bitter fruit of an apple. It was representing sin with blood red skin. And every time he would take a bite of the fruit, its juice would turn to blood and stain all of his teeth. Yeah, they are guilty of the blood of the saints, and blood will be given them to drink. Yeah, and they will be cursed for this. They are cursed for this. It would then run down his chin and forearm and drip off of his elbow onto his prison jumpsuit. They don't even know they're in prison. They will be made to eat the fruit of their doings. The Lord sees all. Isaiah 3, 10 through 15. Say ye of the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their own doings. Yep, what you sow, you reap. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for what his hands have done shall be done unto him. And as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. This is true. This is happening. That is, those that should receive the seed of the word of God are attempting to sow it, and they're not capable. O my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to contend and standeth to judge the peoples. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and the princes thereof. It is ye that have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye crush my people and grind the face of the poor? Says the Lord of hosts. And Proverbs 1:25-32. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a storm, and your calamity cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit, there it is, of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Yep, the snares that they laid, they fall into. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. Remember when a man drew a bow at a venture and struck Ahab in the joints of his armor, for goodness sake. The careless ease of fools shall destroy them. And he thought he could disguise himself and go into battle. Like the Lord can't tell when you're disguised. That's how stupid gets. Proverbs 18:20-21. A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, that's both positive and negative. And that's when she woke up. And dream number two, she got on December the 25th. She said, I dreamed that I believe as a type of the bride, was in a large RV that UBM had acquired. Mm-hmm. And David was driving and Michael was sitting behind him. And I was sitting in the passenger seat. It was a bright, sunny day outside. And she has in parentheses RV representing the blessings that God has promised UBM and the bride for many years. These blessings will be used to provide for the bride and to help our, quote, little sister, unquote, to come into the sanctification when the tribulation begins. Yes, amen. It is so cool, God's plan. My passenger seat was very mechanical and would adjust many different ways to whatever her comfort desired, right? It was extremely luxurious and comfortable. And she has in parentheses, the bride will have everything and every comfort she needs going into the tribulation. Then she said, David and Michael were laughing at me because I was like a kid, constantly trying out all the different ways that the seat would move. Yeah. We eventually made a stop to pick up some more passengers, and they all boarded, including the factious leader. He was angry and threatening to, and I'm going to cut that part out. There's too much information there. And then went down the steps and off the RV, still threatening as he went. Well, we got this text that I'm about to share three times about this man. And he was acting all friendly, but was clearly admitting nothing that he had done or even repenting. And then he blew up falsely accusing someone, of us, again, in order to make him look good. So we knew the demons were still there, hiding to deceive. And this is, of course, the fourth time that he has fallen into this and turned Judas. And Proverbs 26:23, fervent lips and a wicked heart are like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. He layeth up deceit within himself. And when he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred cover itself with guile, his wickedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. Yep. And Revelation 12, 7 through 11, Eve puts here, she said, "And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon." You remember who the dragon was, 7-head, 10-horned dragon. It represents lost humanity, a body of lost humanity in which the devil lives. "And the dragon warred with his angels." Well, we've been given what? Warring angels. "And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent." The devil himself can't stand against these warring angels. And all of his army can't stand before these warring angels, which God has given to you, righteous person there, saint out there. Now send them to go do the work. "He that is called the devil and Satan," that's the dragon, "the deceiver of the," what? "Whole world." And the deep state is one of his prized vessels, right? "He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser." So here's the body of the devil. He always inhabits the accuser, right? Remember, the accusers accused Jesus, but they lied. "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night." Yep. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death." Glory be to God. A good message there. "Then we got back on the road," she says, and drove to a new house that we were meeting in. We walked in, and there was a party of some kind going on. And many, you know, when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, it was a party, didn't it? Wasn't it? "Many of the brethren had brought food, and I think that there was a white cake also. It seemed like a baby shower that I found out later was for me, as a type of the bride, right? But I wasn't visibly pregnant in this dream, so it's not a natural thing, right? It's a supernatural thing. And she put in parenthesis, "The bride is spiritually pregnant with the man-child, individually and corporately, who will be born soon." Amen. You know, our individual man-child is Jesus in you. He's coming to fruition in you. He's growing up in you. He is the fruit of the word in you, right? But a corporate man-child is coming forth, which is also born of the corporate body of the bride, and that's going to be the reformers that God is going to use to speak his words. John 16, 19 through 22. "Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves concerning this that I said a little while, and ye behold me not?" Which happened, right? "And again a little while, and you shall see me." Well, what is that little while? Well, again, if you go all the way through the Bible from right there, you find him again in Revelation 12. Except John said this is going to come to pass hereafter. It wasn't Jesus. It's Jesus and the man-child. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." When? When the man-child returns in the woman. "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore now have sorrow." Yes, the woman has sorrow. A lot of persecution from the wicked. A lot of trouble from the wicked. But he said, I will see you again. There's the man child, right? And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no one taketh away from you. When the man child comes, great joy is going to come to not only the bride, but the larger woman, which is the church. Joy. Because there's going to be a restoration of everything that's been stolen from God's people by the worms. the worms, right? I turned from the kitchen entrance that was to the right of the living room to go and sit down on one of the many couches that lined the walls. And as I did, I saw a young sister in the Lord, sitting on one of the couches closest to the kitchen, and another young sister in the Lord sitting across from her on the other couch closest to the kitchen. These couches represent the continual Sabbath rest for the people of God. The couches closest to the kitchen are where the young and innocent like to sit because they need easy access to the food. That's how you get faith to stay in the rest, right? The food, the good food of the Word of God. And I saw a very skinny, short, little Hispanic man with deep pits and pockmarks, scars on his cheeks from past cystic acne and a full head of the blackest hair I'd ever seen. Okay, well, that's the curse of God upon this evil foreigner, foreigners to the kingdom, as he submits to darkness. That's the dark hair. And, hair is given for a sign of submission, right? He submits to darkness. And he's defaced because people will find out his sin. They're going to see him as he is, right? And I knew in the dream that it was the same factious leader. In Matthew 7:15-23, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Listen to what I'm saying now. Listen to what the Lord is saying here. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. They never believe that. They never do, or they wouldn't continue on in their willful disobedience. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, there are foolish people that do that, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. There are people who call him Lord, and he is not their Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? By thy name cast out demons. Yes, this guy faked prophecies quite often. And by thy name do many mighty works, which is a dangerous thing to do. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, my God. And she received this word, or actually Tim received this word by faith at Ramden on December the 31st. Zechariah 5:1-4. Then again I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, a flying roll. Oh, it represents the word of God. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole land. There's the curse on the face right there. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off on the one side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on the other side, according to it. The curse is going to take out the false swearers and the thieves. I will cause it to go forth, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall abide in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. So this curse is represented by the factious leader's sores in this dream. Oh my. At first he was sitting very close to the first young sister on her left. That's this cursed leader. He was being very seductive with his right arm around her and his left hand stroking her hair and her face. In parenthesis, she says, pretending to be her bridegroom. Notice that the counterfeit's arms were opposite from the real bridegroom, which is true. Look in Song of Solomon 2:4-7. He brought me to his banqueting house. His banner over me was love. Stay me with raisins. Refresh me with apples. That's old fruit and new fruit, right? For I am sick with love. His left hand was under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. And I all through here, by the way, folks, I cut things out because lots of information was being given, and through other dreams that we've received, lots of information was given. Stuff that will be brought out eventually, but not right now. He was speaking a lot of flattering words to her to try to seduce her into sleeping with him. In other words, receiving his seed, right, which is corrupt. The enemy would love to seduce us to commit fornication against the word of the Lord with him. Since this was a factious man, this represents a temptation to give in to factious thoughts that would steal love out of our heart for Jesus. Yes, these people wonder why in the beginning of this infection in their life, they don't have any desire. They've mentioned it to me before. They don't have any desire for Jesus or the Word. They don't understand it. They don't understand, except that they've let faction come into their heart. And his word, and the brethren and faction away with the enemy. Then the young sister excused herself to go into the kitchen. In other words, to feed on the word which delivers from faction. If a person really eats the word, they won't have to worry about faction, will they? Then the factious leader would hurry over to the other couch. Oh, we're going to try somebody else. Didn't work that time. Would hurry over to the other couch and sit very close to the other young sister on her left and try to seduce her as well. This is pretty interesting, since he did try to do that. We shouldn't remain, she says, willfully ignorant of the word or the devil's schemes, which can destroy us. Romans 16:17-20 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. Their God is their belly, right? And by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I rejoice therefore over you. But I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple unto that which is evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I thought, he's going to cause a lot of trouble between these two sisters with creating jealousy and contention between them over him. Yep, that's what faction does. And I began to pray for them as I went over to sit on another couch. Once everyone was seated on all the couches, a blonde-haired woman who was the event planner began to explain the different games we would play, similar to that what is done at a baby shower, right? And the prizes that would what we would receive if we won the various games. Well, amen. Okay. So this is the baby shower. Of course, it's for the baby who's been born and so on. And this is all a test to see who discerns and departs from evil, isn't it? Yeah. So I asked her a question about the games, and she said, "Oh, you don't have to worry. Since you, that is the bride, are the guest of honor, you don't have to participate." And then Eve said, "David has shared in Hidden Manna for the End Times about how the bride and the groom during the marriage feast are king and queen for a week, and they look on at the games." And then she says, "And then she handed me a very large and unique gift. It was a large white bird's cage that was empty and clean." A white bird's cage that was empty and clean. She also told me that I would receive all the other gifts as well. Well, she said this white bird's cage that was empty and clean represents not only our escape from the coming destruction, I would say in bondage to sin, but also household salvation when our loved ones that we've been praying for escape through judgment and repentance. This tradition is why they do is what they do at baby showers. The mother-to-be receives all the gifts that are won by the guests. Yep. Yeah. Good things coming, folks. Just good things coming. And she got Psalm 11, 1, 1, 1, 1, which is the man-child number. In the Lord do I take refuge. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And Proverbs 6 and 5. Deliver thyself as the roe from the hand of the hunter, and as the bird from the hand of the fowler. You know, the fowler lays traps, but as we saw, they fall into it themselves. Yeah. And as Haman laid the trap for Mordecai, he was hung by his own trap. Ezekiel 7, 14 through 16. They have blown the trumpet and have made all ready, but none goeth to the battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. Notice, these are things that Babylon used to conquer the apostate leaders of his people. The sword is without, the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die by the sword. Another one mentioned. Everywhere Babylon conquered the apostates, these were mentioned. And it's coming here. And he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But those of them that escape shall escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them moaning, every one in his iniquity. And then I woke up. All right, here's a mess. I'm just going to share this with you myself. In the Revelations, which we don't share here, The Lord has shown the faction's plans to destroy us. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me a word for this, Lord. And he gave me Psalm 129, 5 and 6. Let them be put to shame and turned backward, all they that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetop, which withereth before it groweth up. Notice in all the scenarios we mentioned, the enemy was taken out before they got to shoot an arrow over the wall. Mm-hmm. So I said, Lord, give me another word. And he gave me Psalm 83, 11 through 18. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb. Their nobles, their leaders. Yea, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the possession, the habitations of God. The bunch of thieves. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, as stubble before the wind, as the fire that burneth the forest, and as the flame that setteth the mountains on fire. So pursue them with thy tempest, and terrify them with thy storm. Fill their faces with confusion, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Yea, let them be confounded and perish, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, thou art the Most High over all the earth. I got these by faith at random. So the Lord spoke. The Lord gave us this revelation about all of their attempts. But besides, he's been telling us this all along, almost every day, almost every morning when we come together to get words from the Lord concerning this. He tells us over and over. You know, because of past dreams of their attack, I asked a couple of months ago, I said, Lord, are you going to hit them before they hit us? And I got two heads for yes. And then the Lord reminded me of the text that we receive so often where the enemy came to destroy, but was destroyed first by God. You know, Sennacherib, the northern army, Jehoshaphat's three armies, Pharaoh at the Red Sea, Judas, Absalom, and of course many more. It's easy in the last days for Satan to find accusers to slander the saints, just as those who accused Jesus, but their judgment is sealed by Scripture. God is not going to break his word. The things that have been are the things that shall be. In 2 Timothy 3 and 1, I know this, but know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good. He warned us this was coming. Traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In Psalm 109 and 1, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of deceit have they opened against me. They have spoken unto me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer, and they have rewarded me evil for good. It's so true. I did so much good for every one of them, and they returned it with evil. And you know what the Lord says, evil will not depart from their house. That's what he said. And in this text too, and hatred for my love, set thou a wicked man over him, and let an adversary stand at his right hand. And when he is judged, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer be turned into sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. There you go. There's Judas, hung himself with his own works. This is the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. And then verse 31, for he will stand at the right hand of the needy to save him from them that judge his soul. And then 64 and 1, hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of the workers of iniquity, who have whet their tongue like a sword and aimed their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret places at the perfect. Yeah, they just closed their Facebook up. You know, they were had it open, but now they're all hiding and talking. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil purpose. They commune of laying snares privily. Oh, there's them snares. And they fall into it themselves, right? They say, who will see them? They don't think God is good. And if he is good, he must not be looking, right? They preach out, they search out iniquities. We have accomplished, say they, a diligent search, and the inward thought of the heart of everyone is deep. That's kind of like Trump. Well, he thought this. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? All that see them shall wag the head, Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of all men by for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. True. Well, then Eve had a dream about father destroying the faction. And she went to her father's land and went into the left mobile home and found that it was totally full of hornets. She went to tell her father about it, and her father came and surveyed the problem. The father who lived in the right mobile home came and surveyed the problem in the left mobile home and thought the thing out to see how he could destroy the hornets in the left mobile home. And, wow, you know. And he showed them how they reproduce, which was totally against nature. Their unnatural way to reproduce. Anyway, the left mobile home was full of hornets. Full of hornets. And they reproduce, by the way, by passing on demons through slander. And they molest people with slander. And she said, Father spoke to me and said, this is how they reproduce themselves. I sensed great danger, and I realized that they were planning a huge attack on the mobile home on the right. And of course they are. But you see, the father came over there to look at the situation and decided how to destroy them before they did this. Mm-hmm. So father's good. He is, you can read that in the text if you want. We're not going to get to it. Well, Father, once again, I pray, Lord, that you will have mercy on those who were deceived by these wicked people imparting demons to them. And we're ignorant of how to defend themselves against this. They sat and listened and shouldn't have done it because the demons were imparted to them and they were deceived. And all this will be used to humble them. But we pray, Lord, that you'll have mercy on the merely deceived and open up their discernment and bring their conscience back to life and to deliver them from these wicked people. And Lord, we know there are some that are not innocent. They willfully, because of their own ego, go out to make disciples by slandering. And Lord, you have prepared destruction for them. And they won't be named among the righteous. The Judases, the Peters, yes, they will be delivered from their failures. But the Judases, they're destroyed. They're reprobated. And Father, we just ask for mercy for those that are your elect among them. And we ask for your mercy. We ask that your warring angels go forth to free them from their delusion, from the demons who have smothered their consciences and delivered them over to this evil. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for your goodness to us. We know all of this is working together for our good, every bit of it. You are so wise, Lord. You have vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor, and they both do their job to create sons of God. So thank you so much, Father, in the name of Jesus. And thank you for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you. We love you. Keep us in prayer. Send out the warring angels. Be sure to do that. It's very important. And God bless you. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
My thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you.